All right, back here on the Giants pregame show alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley, and as we do most every weekend here on Talkin' Baseball, it's time to bring in our good friend, host here on KMBR, Adam Copeland. Copes, what's up?
What's up, dude? Nice to have a weekend off, just watching some ball, getting ready to watch some more NBA hoops this afternoon, find out who the Warriors are playing. The hilarity of a weekend where I work harder at home doing stuff like building chairs for Sasha's desk than I do during the week. But, yeah, heck of a Sunday for me, man.
Yeah, quite a Sunday night, and really one of those great opportunities to get two screens going where you've got Suns and Mavericks, find out who the Warriors are going to play, and then you'll have Giants-Cardinals on Sunday Night Baseball. Always a treat. So you got your setup all ready to go?
Well, I think as most people know, and I've talked about it on the air a bunch, I do have two televisions in my living room. Happy wife, happy life. That's the way it works with Sass. That way during the week she can watch stuff in the evening time, and I can watch games on the other screen on silent. But when there are two big events, if there's a Warriors and a Giants game, we'll definitely double it up. But I may be relegated to the second screen in the laptop, since Suns and Mavericks probably don't meet her mark as far as what should be on both screens.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's very generous of you. What's Sash got going tonight on the TV?
That I don't know. She's a big romantic comedy fan. She'll roll some movies out. We started the Jurassic Park original trilogy earlier this week, so we might get into that, number three, before the new one comes out. We'll finish up that series, but that's probably it. Probably a couple of movies, and we're going to do a little barbecue tonight, too.
All right. May I recommend some of the classics, The Notebook, The Proposal. Anyway, let's talk some of the classics. Let's talk Giants and the Cardinals. Always a great matchup. Going for the season series tonight, both teams. Cardinals have won three, Giants have won three, deciding game number seven. The Giants have Carlos Rodon on the mound, Adam, and it feels like every time he takes the mound, the Giants gain a little bit more confidence in what this guy's been able to do. What a find for Farhan Zaidi this offseason. Really, you can't use the word fine because he had a 2.37 ERA with the White Sox last season, but how well this has worked out, I think that this has surpassed even the Giants' expectations heading into this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Giants have been great with these reclamation projects where they've, you know, sort of fixed Anthony Desclafani before he went on the IL. He was sort of a number four, number five starter around the league. We saw him do it with Drew Smyly. We saw him do it with Drew Pomeranz. We saw them do it with Kevin Gausman. But even with Kevin Gausman, because he was sort of a fix-it project, a buy low and sort of see what happens, even though he picked up that qualifying offer an offseason ago before he took the $18 million, it never really felt like he was still he was the ace of the staff. Necessarily the traditional ace where you feel like, man, every time this guy takes the ball every fifth day, you're going to win. And Giants fans have become accustomed to that. You can go back to Jason Schmidt sort of kicking that off, into Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain, into Madison Bumgarner. And even in the down years, it felt like every fifth day, you've got a guy who can take a game for you. Carlos Rodon definitely has that. I know we've seen Logan Webb struggle just a little bit over his last four or five starts. And he can still be that guy, I think. But Carlos Rodon has the oomph of an ace, right? He's fiery on the mound. He throws the high fastball. It's kind of a come-and-get-it fastball. He's pumping high 90s. He's sort of what I think fans think about when you remember a true ace. And so it feels good to have that guy, especially on a team that's competing in the NL West, to come out and not guarantee you a win, but give you a damn good shot every 5 days.
No, I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it does take me back to Jason Schmidt, back when the Giants, you know, it was 2002, 2003, right after that deal with the Pittsburgh Pirates, where Jason Schmidt all of a sudden just morphed into one of the best pitchers in baseball. The changeup was so good, and of course that changeup drew comparisons to Kevin Gausman's splitter through the last few years. But for the last two decades, the Giants have almost always had someone who was incredibly reliable, and I think that Tim Lincecum was probably the guy who really transformed Win Day back with Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko when they were talking about
right.
That. But you're right that the Giants have always had someone who's felt that way, Copes. And you know, I wonder, last season Logan Webb was that guy, even as good as Kevin Gausman was, first time All-Star in his career. Logan Webb was that guy throughout the second half of the season. If they can get to that point where Logan Webb reaches the level he did last year and Carlos Rodon is doing what he's done so far this season, I mean, what does that portend for their NL West opportunities, for their chance to defend this division crown against a Dodgers team that, quite frankly, the last few days has looked a lot more mortal than many of us expected?
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting topic, because you look at the way Farhan has done things since he's gotten here, right? Clearly, it can get you 107 wins and a division title and get you into the playoffs. But the playoffs are about a totally different beast, right? You can't manipulate the roster every day. You can't play your roster to favor your matchups every single day. You've got to set a roster and just kind of go. So I look back at last season, and that's ultimately what they were kind of missing. They can get by with the bullpen throwing 5-6 innings at a time in the postseason if it's just for a game or maybe two games. But if you've got two guys who can come out, and Logan Webb obviously was that guy in the playoffs last year, and I do believe he's going to get back to that, because we saw him start this season almost exactly where he left off last season, with the exception of the home run, because he doesn't get a chance to hit. I think Logan Webb can absolutely get back to the guy that we saw last year. So when you've got two of those guys, and really that's what the Dodgers had even in the 60-game campaign, we've seen them as a team that was built for regular season success and not postseason success. They thought they had that when they had Julio Urias and they had Clayton Kershaw. Now really it's more Urias and Walker Buehler. You've got two guys who can go out there and shove, which make them absolutely a contender yet again. And I know they've looked mortal the last couple of days, but this is still the Dodgers. That lineup is full of proven hitters. That roster is extremely deep. The Giants are built to withstand the 162, but you give yourself a much better chance in the postseason if you've got a two-headed monster. Some teams maybe a three. If you can go out and maybe you add a piece. Maybe Matt Boyd ends up being a stud when he shows up and makes his debut for the Giants. Maybe Alex Wood gets back to the guy that we saw early last season and at the very beginning of this year. And then you've got a three-headed monster. So having Logan Webb get back there, I think, is imperative for postseason success for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Hey, Copes, would love to get your thoughts on some of the topics that are dominating the baseball conversation today. How about the Cincinnati Reds? I think the over-under for win total for them this season has been lowered to 17, as Marty and Bill and I discussed. They actually don't give up a hit and still find a way to lose. Forever Giant Chris Stratton gets the win in that one, 1-0 for the Pirates. Seen that one in a while?
Well, shout out the appearance of Chris Stratton, forever Giant. Also, I saw Jose Quintana this week beat the Dodgers. It was the first time the Pirates had beat the Dodgers in 16 consecutive tries. And I was like, oh, yeah, Jose Quintana was hanging around last year, too, forever Giant, getting a win over the Dodgers for the Pirates. But I saw that note, actually, right before I came on with you. That's an absurd thing to happen for a team, not to allow a hit and still take the loss. And I don't really understand. I have no clue what the Reds' strategy was coming into this year. They dismantled the team from a team that was really kind of competitive into August of last year and then had an injury to Jesse Winker. He was an MVP candidate before he went down. They just kind of blew things up with guys that they had some control over. You could have waited till the deadline, maybe got some more assets, but they just sort of sold off their pieces just kind of for parts is kind of how they blew up the team. So sort of hysterical that it happens to the team when they've decided to go that route. I do feel bad for David Bell, one of the great baseball families, one of the great baseball guys, another forever Giant, the slide in 02, for having to deal with all that nonsense out in Cincinnati. But yeah, I don't really understand what their plan is and where they're going beyond this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up David Bell. Never forget against these St. Louis Cardinals, Kenny Lofton up the middle, a great trade deadline acquisition for Brian Sabian. David Bell sliding on home. And yeah, it's interesting to look around baseball and see some of the teams that are tanking right now. And, you know, how about the Oakland A's yesterday? Luis Barrera with the walk-off home run against the Angels. Then they get absolutely clobbered in game two. Shohei Ohtani, 100th home run in the major leagues for the Angels yesterday, Copes. Your thoughts on just what Ohtani's been able to accomplish coming over to America with such incredible hype and even surpassing what we thought was possible in our wildest expectations?
Well, I mean, this happens across sports, right? Like, guys in the NBA draft get hyped almost every year, right? Like, the one guy who played out internationally the way we expected coming in was, like, Dirk Nowitzki, because we nobody had any idea about him. And then other guys, and obviously the game has grown globally. But in baseball, like, we get a few years look at these guys before they come up. Shohei Ohtani, like, what he's – we're out of superlatives to say. You know what I mean? Like, what he's doing is unbelievable, even just as a hitter. And you look at him as a pitcher, and you're like, damn, he's a probably – better than top half of the league pitcher as it stands as well, with the velocity he has, with the way he can climb the ladder, with the fastball that has the late movement. It just kind of explodes when it crosses the plate, and guys just can't get around on it. Then you see what he does as a hitter, and you're like, this guy's one of the best hitters in all of baseball. He's a true threat. It's unbelievable what he's doing, and I'm just excited. What my favorite note on him is, he may be the only guy in the history of the game to throw 100 miles an hour and have an exit velocity of 100 miles an hour. He throws 100 and hits 100. It's out of this world. He's an alien. It's one of the coolest things I think we've ever seen in sports. It's up there for me with guys like Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders playing two different sports at the same time. That's unbelievable, but basically that's what you're doing in baseball too when you're talking pitching and hitting. It's two completely different things, and he excels at both.
Oh, so well said. And I'd even take it a step further. Throws 100, hits 110. I mean, what Ohtani does, it's mythical. So good stuff from Adam Copeland. Copes, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be sure to tune in this week. 2-6, you can hear Adam Copeland alongside Tom Tolbert every single weekday here on the Sports Leader. Copes, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you later, Kerry.
All right, more Giants pregame show coming up next. You're listening to KNBR. And hey, before we go to commercial break, a quick word from my friend Bill Lasky.